Seeing and not seeing are the big themes in our readings this week. Job's friends were so busy defending their idea of God that they became blind to Job. They didn't see what kind of agony he was in. And they didn't take time to pray to God with Job in his despair. Job, too, is pretty blind. He bases his ideas of God on what he has heard, and only on what he's heard. However, Job is willing to engage with God and is rewarded with sight, and camels, and rings, and children. But it takes a long time for him to get back to himself. It shakes out of him all that he thought he knew, and he recants all that he said before and all that he held dear. They are but dust and ashes in his newfound belief in God. The disciples, too, have been so very blind. We've been hearing a lot about that these past few weeks. Since the first blind man was symbolically healed earlier in Mark's story, the disciples, like that man, have been seeing people walking like trees, a little fuzzy, very unclear, and rather confused. Jesus has been teaching them again and again about his impending death and resurrection. And what happens? Instead of paying attention to that, Peter rebukes Jesus and is rebuked back. James and John ask for greatness and power and wonder which side they're going to get to sit on in heaven, the right or the left. Pretty blind, considering what all was going on. Bartimaeus, we hear, is blind. He actually cannot see. But he is the one who sees Jesus for who he is. And he won't let those around him not see him. Bartimaeus cries out, and when everyone ignores him and tells him to shut up, he cries out even louder. He cries out defiantly, claiming his personhood, his right to be there as a full human being despite his blindness. And he counters the hillbilly Jesus, the guy that they've all been talking about, and that idea that they don't really know who he is, or they're not really believing where he has come from. Bartimaeus is the first person to call him the Son of David, a title that soon gets repeated as they enter into Jerusalem. And unlike the famous group of disciples that we hear about all the time, those ones who are confused and see people walking like trees, it is Bartimaeus who offers us the picture of what a true disciple is meant to be. Each one of us has experiences where we find out a bit more about discipleship. And a few weeks ago, I presided at a wedding here at St. John's of Peter and Catherine. They're parishioners from another parish, but their church was not big enough to hold all their family and friends, and so it was my joy to celebrate with them. Now, as is often the case these days, they had a wedding planner. That's always interesting for the priest and the wedding planner. But it was fine, we all got along fine. And they were telling me that when they went to see the reception spot, which was the Museum of Nature, the wedding planner had prepped them and said, there's a display on at the Museum of Nature that you may not want to have in your wedding pictures. So, you know, we're thinking of putting up a screen, you know, so we cover the display, and then we can put, you know, congratulations, whatever, on the screen, and then you can have your pictures taken there. But we'll make sure that it's all covered so that it looks good for your wedding. So they were kind of wondering what this was exactly. It is the Museum of Nature. You never know. It could be a squid or a sloth. Who knows? A spider. So off they go to look at it, and there is a large display set up. And there's a huge cutout letters that are there in the Museum of Nature that say, hashtag courage and passion. They said to the wedding planner, what's the problem? And it was great. great for me, because I then had a homily for the sermon for their wedding. I talked about courage and passion. Just to live in our world today, we need courage and passion, especially when it becomes usual to wake up in the morning and hear of a natural disaster that's happened overnight. Or how, when you're eating lunch, you're not even surprised to hear that more people have been brutally slain south of the border. Or when we hear of people's mental illness and rage and issues that they bring out on others. Or when another drug overdose or a cancer diagnosis touches us or our family. But what and who do we not see in the midst of all of that? When we are struck, dumb, and blind, and we don't have courage and passion, when we are so busy defending our idea of God that we can't see. And if Jesus were to actually ask us what we desired of him, would we have the courage to ask to see with our whole selves? And would we have the passion to follow through on what that might mean for our lives? But the Gospel of Mark and the story of Bartimaeus give us inspiration. The word immediately is used 54 times in the Gospels. And over half of those instances are in Mark's Gospel alone. His is the Gospel of immediately. It's a gospel that calls upon its audience to be prepared to jump up from our seats or their workplaces or their homes and set out on the way, the road of Christian discipleship. Mark seems to be saying, trust your emotions and your intuition. Don't overthink things. And there in the midst of that, we have Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, who is sitting by the side of the road, blind, poor, alone. Unseen by many. He has no social safety net, and all he has is the cloak that he is wearing. He's probably homeless and spends the most of the day seeking shelter for that night. And whether that cloak is ragged or in relatively good shape, it's his best protection against the world and the cold of the night and the assaults of the weather, and maybe even from the people around him. That cloak is probably his only belonging, and he must hold it very close to his heart. And yet, when the call of Jesus comes to Bartimaeus, he risks everything on the chance that this rabbi from Nazareth will restore his sight. So in the midst of a crowd, some of whom are probably more than willing to take advantage of a free cloak lying on the ground, Bartimaeus throws off something that is hindering his approach to Jesus. He gets rid of the one thing that's his security and also the one thing that could trip him up. What Mark is asking us to do as disciples of Jesus is to understand that faith is a risky enterprise. Sometimes it means trusting our emotions and intuition more than our measured intellectual assessment of a given situation. Sometimes it means seizing a moment rather than holding back and waiting for the right time. And it always requires us to have courage and passion. When you think about it, almost everything about life is about the management rather than the avoidance of risk. After all, you had to manage some risk to get into the church today. There was snow and it was slippery. There are fences everywhere. There is even less parking than normal. These things are all in the way. And you have to manage the risk, not avoid it, because you wouldn't be here if you had avoided it. You would have turned around and gone back home or gone to the coffee shop. But you manage the risk to make it here today. And even so doing, you couldn't control the behavior of anybody else. You couldn't control the rage, perhaps, of the drivers trying to come down Elgin Street. You couldn't control the fact that it is snowing. You can't control the fact that you may not know where your next step lies. However, despite all those unknowns, you today are here in this church. So we must not avoid the risk, but grab onto it, manage it, feel the courage and the passion. Be like Bartimaeus and throw away the things that we often think are most secure and go for what is true, what we are called to be. And that means not knowing what we're sometimes called to be. Sometimes we don't know where we're going. We don't know where our community is going. We don't know where the future lies. But may we take risks and may we trust our instinct. May we look past the crowds and the chasm between ourselves and Jesus and see Jesus for who he really is. May we take heart, just as the crowd said to Bartimaeus, take heart, he's calling you, you, you. May we take heart, because we are indeed being called. May we throw off all the things that hinder us, from the chance of healing, from the chance of seeing. And may we have the courage and passion to live in that new way of seeing, and in doing so, bring new hope and new love to others. Amen.